Who's glad to be here this morning? Me too, me too. Hey, I had a thought this week. First time in a long time. My favorite conversations begin with, I have a question. And I mean that sincerely. I have grandkids, and so I know where some of your minds went. But my favorite conversations in my life, and I realized even in the Word of God, begin with, I have a question. Now let me date myself. In the 1900s, by the way, why are you laughing? It was the 1900s. It's probably no secret that I'm a shoe guy. I don't know if Jefferson's here. Jefferson, he's a shoe guy too. And so some of my favorite memories when I was a kid was going, for those that are under 35, they used to have stores that were just shoes, and I know you get that. But in these shoes, in these stores, they had these little metal things that you put your foot in, and you slide to those things. But here's the question. I'd be in there with my parents after nagging them to death, can I please get a pair of shoes? And so they'd take me to Kenny's. What? You guys were? Okay. So we'd be in the store, and I'd finally figure, you know, we finally settled on what I could get, because, of course, the first pair you want are way too expensive, and the second, and the third, and with my dad, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, probably about the 11th, he goes, okay, they're on sale for $4, you can get those, okay, good. But then the moment comes where you get it all figured out, and you're sitting there, and you're sitting in the chair, and that person comes up, and they ask you, anybody know? What size do you need? And I would get goosebumps and also a little bit of fear, because the question that's been asked may not have the answer. You may not get what you're looking for. You know what I'm saying? Anybody remember? Anybody remember the 1900s? And they would come back out and they go, oh, I'm sorry, sir, but we don't have that size. You know, then you'd cry and whatever. And then I would say, Dad, can I get the more expensive ones because they have that in my size? Sometimes it worked. You didn't know I was doing that, did you? I paid him money to say that they didn't have my size in that shoe, and then I did not. I love conversations that begin with questions, because questions potentially lead to discovering the truth and growth. Growth in some fashion, some way. How different would our world be today is if the conversations we were having on Facebook or in our capital or in Israel or in Maine, how different would our world be if we were asking questions rather than screaming and yelling at each other in anger? Now, this is not the answer to everything, but how different would our world be if our conversations began with questions? See, in our text this morning, and we're in the book of Exodus, so if you want to turn to Exodus, find chapter 3. Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, our Bibles, and we're going to be there in just a second, and we're going to discover that this point in our story, this point in our study of what it looks like to become His, there is a conversation that's going to happen between God and Moses, and it's going to involve questions. And so this is one of my favorite conversations in the Bible. And I realize this week it's because it begins with questions. Are you curious? Yes. All right, good, me too. So I have a question. Exodus chapter 3. See if this is working. It is working. Awesome. Exodus chapter 3, we read in verse 1. Meanwhile, pause. Okay, see the comma there? There's not a comma in the Hebrew, but there's a comma in our English Bible, so pause with me. Meanwhile, what did we leave? Where did we leave Moses? How did we leave Moses last week as we came to the end of chapter 2? He ran away and became a shepherd in the wilderness, Midian. And so he is, how long is he there? Do we know how long he's a shepherd? For 40 years. That's a big meanwhile, isn't it? Let me give you just some encouragement that don't read the Bible too quickly, because you'll come across moments like this and you just see a word says, meanwhile, you know, it's almost like a TV show, you know, and then it cuts to the other scene. Meanwhile has a lot of significance. So if you see a word like that, pause, go back. And refresh and read again and say, meanwhile, what? What's going on? Well, he's in the desert. He is shepherding sheep. It tells us here, meanwhile, he is shepherding the flock of his father-in-law. Remember, he got married in chapter 2? Remember that? He met his wife, and they got married, and he became a part of a family. And now he's shepherding the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire within a bush. As Moses looked, he saw that the bush was on fire. Way to go, Moses. Great observation skills. Okay, just seeing if you're paying attention. He sees that the bush is on fire, and as he looked, he sees that it's burning, but it's not consumed, which is what we would expect, right? If something is on fire, the fire consumes whatever that material is. And so Moses thought, I love this, I love the humanity that is in God's word. And if I can encourage you again, put yourself in the pages, the words of scripture as you read. This is God's word for us. Us goofy, broken, sometimes rebellious human beings, God is speaking to us. And so in the pages of scripture is a description of us, who we are. And he's taking care of the sheep, and he looks over and he sees a bush burning. And that's probably not unusual. You're in the desert, it's hot, they're dry, things catch on fire. But this is different because the bush isn't burning up. And he thought, you know what? I want to check this out. I must go over and look at this remarkable sight. It's captured his imagination, his creativity. Maybe it's captured a little bit of his emotion, his fear, curiosity, or stronger, of what in the world is going on. And he asks a question. Do you see it? What's the question? It's why, right? Why isn't this burning up? Moses has this question, and it's really a question that's bigger than just the moment that he's facing, because he's been carrying around with him for close to 40 years that he had really messed up. Do you remember? He really messed up. When we read in Acts, Pastor Matt shared some of the text from the book of Acts, and in Acts it tells us that he was this incredible leader, communicator. He had all the equipping he needed, and he knew that he was God's chosen man. He went to the best schools, the best training, and he was going to lead God's people out of Egypt. And yet, in his anger, he struck down an Egyptian and killed him. And as a result, he runs. And he's just spent the last 40 years in the desert with sheep. Now, I don't know a lot about sheep, but I do understand this about being a shepherd of sheep. You have a lot of time to think. They're not really exciting animals. Yeah, I mean, they're just, you know, just to let your mind kind of wander what you know about sheep and what you've experienced with sheep. It's not they're not exciting, and they have some basic needs, but they're dumb, right? They're really afraid of things. They're really picky. And so you do what you got to do to protect them. Fight off the wolves, you make sure they got water, and then they have a lot of time just to think. And I imagine if I'm Moses, I'm doing a lot of thinking over those 40 years of what could have been, what should have been. And now here I am, I'm just taking care of sheep, and that's fine, but boy, what did I miss out on? And now he has this moment where this bush is on fire, but it's not burning. And I think his question is bigger. The way he reacts is bigger than just, this is curious. No, what is happening? What is happening in my life? What is happening in this moment? Anybody else ever ask that question? I hope you asked it over the last couple of weeks. As events unfold in Israel, what is going on? What is happening? Not in fear, because we know who is in control, and we know his plans are good, and we know that he always preserves a remnant of his people. Do we know that? Yes. Do we not have history to prove, back up what we already have in God's word? But what is going on? What does this mean? What's about to happen? Somebody takes a gun and they take the lives of 18 people. What is going on? You look at your paycheck, or you look at your bank account. Some of us, as we get older, your health, our families, relationships, people's choices that we're making individually, that we're making as a people, as Californians, as a country, as a humanity. What is happening? This is new, right? In 40 years of taking, you know, the routine. Can you imagine the routine of being a shepherd? I imagine you get up early, you know. I don't think he had to pick up like I do for my dog, maybe. Muck out the stalls, I don't know. Get him, wake him all up. Leave me alone. This is bad. I don't want to get up. I don't know. My mind goes to those strange places. But he goes through the routine, gets their water, and then he comes back home and, hi, honey, and he has dinner. And day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. And now all of a sudden, something out of the ordinary is happening. What is happening? Now, he asks a question. We have it recorded for us in the Word of God. Does anybody hear the question? We're not sure we want to answer that question. Turn your attention to your Bible, chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that he had come over to look, was somebody listening to Moses, the cry of Moses' heart? Yeah. Come on now, isn't that good? Some of you came in this morning and that's what you needed to hear before you leave today. He has maybe more for you, but for some of you, maybe that's what you needed to hear. You have this question. You have this cry of your heart. What is happening in my world, in my life? And you wonder if somebody is listening. Somebody is listening. The Lord is listening. He's listening to Moses 40 years later in the wilderness. He's still present and he's listening, and God calls out to him from the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am. Again, I love the Bible. I love it. Just like, wait a minute, there's got to be, can we have like just a little more description or a little video or something? If I'm watching a bush burn and all of a sudden a voice talks to me out of that bush, I'm not sure my first response is, here I am. You talking to me? You know, I mean, I don't know what my response would be, but it just makes me imagine putting myself into Moses' head and into his heart as he's contemplating this bush. And he's like, wow, what is happening? This is strange. This doesn't, Moses, Moses. And I have no idea what God's voice sounds like. So I apologize. Here I am, he answered. Do not come close. Okay, now I'm like, okay, whoa. Okay, I wasn't going to touch, I promise. I wasn't going to touch the bush. No, don't come any closer. In fact, take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. And then he continues, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And when he hears this, Moses hides his face because he is afraid. You see what's happening is he is beginning to understand who is speaking. First, the voice is just called, he knows me. And I studied the whole thing about the two names. God does that a lot. He does it a lot. Samuel, Samuel. Mary, Mary. I mean, Martha, Martha. He does it a lot. Jesus does it when he's teaching and he wants to make a point and he says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, if you're reading the King James. And then he speaks the truth. So I don't know if the intent of God is to say, I want to make sure I've got your attention. You really need to listen to what is saying next. That's very likely, possible. But it's also possible that God is trying to convey, I know who I'm talking to. I know you. He's been running from God, or he ran from the moment that God had for him to lead his people for 40 years. He's running. Do you think he questioned if God was still for him and on his side? Do you think he still questioned or wondered if God was with him? This isn't what the life that I thought you had for me. It's a good life. I love my wife and kids, and it's an honorable profession, but this is not what, are you still with me? Do you even know what's happening to me? Do you know where I am? Do you know what's going on in my world? And God answers all those questions by just saying, Moses, Moses. Maybe he's trying to convey that I know you. And when you cry out to me with a question, I'm present, I'm there, I'm hearing, and I know who you are. I know more than just your question. I know you. I know your circumstances. I know your situation. Moses, Moses, And Moses says, okay, I'm here. He says, don't come any closer. Okay, that's kind of strange. I don't want to get burned. But then as God begins to say, remove your sandals from your feet. Now, to someone from the east, that had to do, and sometimes like my friend, some of my friends of Asian households, you take your shoes off for cleanliness, right? Not to bring dirt into the house. Or if you get new carpet. We do, right? Oh, don't put your shoes in there. But in the east, it had a different significance. It had the idea that I am sinful and unworthy. And so removing the shoes indicated that I acknowledge that I don't belong here. I'm not worthy to be here in this moment. To come into the temple, to come into a place where God is present. And so he begins to take his sandals off, and I think he's still kind of wondering what's happening. But then when God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, he knows who he's talking to. He knows who has answered his question. And how do we know that? Because look what he does. He falls on his face. He hides his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I've observed the misery of my people in Egypt, and I have heard them crying out because of their oppressors, and I know about their sufferings. I have come down to rescue them. I don't know, I imagine an applause breaking out at that moment for some reason in my head. God saying, I've heard, I know what's happening, and I'm coming down to make things right. Yeah. Not for me, it's for him, right? This is who he is. I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians. Moses might be thinking, what, really? I don't see that. And to bring them from that land in Egypt to good, take them from slavery to a good and spacious land, freedom, a land flowing with milk and honey, provision, the territory, here's the land, the territory of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Termites, and Jebusites. Make sure you're following along in your Bible to make sure I'm reading it accurately. The Israelites cry for help. Their crying out to me has come to me, and I've also seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. He'd heard and he'd seen. What does that mean? It means that he's present, he's close, he's near. Therefore, go. This is the jarring part for Moses, right? Wait, excuse me, say that last part again. Go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh so that you may lead my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, I can't even imagine the plethora of emotions, the bandwidth of emotions that he's experiencing. Hope, fear, what? Confusion. Could it be? I want you, Moses, to go back, and I want you to lead my people. This is the go part. This is the I'm doing it, and Moses, I'm doing it through you. Couple of thoughts that I want to make sure capture, maybe more than capture, penetrate our thinking in our heart. Number one, God answers our questions by name. The answer God gives you and me is for us. It will never violate truth. It will never violate who he is. It will never violate his word. But it is a personal answer to you. He answers our questions by name. So I don't think it's far-fetched to imagine, God, I really need some help. I really need you to help me this. Kurt, here's your answer. And the second thought is God answers us with revelation or reminders of who he is. Now pause here for just a minute with me, because this goes against what we expect or what we want when we ask a question. When we ask a question, and what's our probably the one that we ask the most, whether we're little kids or we're grown-ups, we ask the question, when? When and why is it right there with it. The disciples, you're coming back when? Look what's happening in Israel and what's happening in this part of the world. When? Look what's happening in Maine. When, God, is something going to change? When is something going to happen that's going to set us free from ourselves? When? And when we ask a when question, and I have grandkids now, but this was true when we had kids, and we would say, hey, we're going to Disneyland. And their first question was, when? Now, I learned the hard way. If you answer that question, you've just made a blood oath to your kids. And it doesn't matter what happens, You know, if the car breaks down or you have to move, or doesn't matter what happens, they expect you to keep that blood oath on the day that you said that blood oath would happen, right? Otherwise, you're a liar. You know, Dad, you lied to us. I go, I'm sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. A blood oath. Sorry. We want an answer when, we want why, we want specifics. But here's what I have discovered, and it was affirmed for me in studying this text. God answers our questions with revelation of who he is. Now, sometimes it's a reminder. That's why that word is in there. Sometimes he's shown us this about himself many times. But other times it's the first time we get, like, okay, here's what you want, here's what you think you need, here's my answer. This is who I am. Do you see it in the text? He says, I'm the God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob and, no, he doesn't say Joseph, but yeah, he's in there. Just, hey, good job. This is me that you're talking to. The one that's been talking to your whole life. The one that is yesterday, today, and forever. And let me tell you a little bit about what I've been doing over the last 40 years. I've been watching and I've been listening because that's who I am. And I'm close to my children. And I'm aware of what's happening. And I know the perfect timing. And the perfect timing, Moses, is now. So go. Because I'm about to do something. God's answers to us are revelation of who he is. Or a reminder. I think I was talking with Nate this week, and I threw out this question. I said, I wonder if this passage, the one that we're looking at in chapter 3, if this passage was the only revelation we had from God, what would we know about him? It's not the only revelation we have. It was the revelation that Moses gets in this moment. But what would we know? Well, we would know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we sing this song, same God, same God. We pray and we cry out, we ask questions of the same God. Think about that. The bush and God being present there in the burning bush, and he talks with Moses. And today, this morning, when you cried out to God and said, God, I have a question, I have a need, I have something I need to ask you. It's the same God that was listening to your prayer this morning as the God that was having this conversation with Moses. He doesn't change. That's his point. I'm the God of all of these, your forefathers. I don't change. I'm the same yesterday, today. And can we just say amen to the fact that he is the same God today in 2023? Amen. In the middle of our mess. I love this. He reveals himself to each generation. Can you say amen to that and be excited about that? He revealed himself to Abraham. He revealed himself to Isaac. He revealed himself to Jacob. He revealed himself to Joseph. He revealed himself to Moses. He'll reveal himself to you and to me. That's who he is. He's near. He's present. He sees. He hears. He rescues his children from slavery and oppression. Is that not what we came to the table to remember this morning? Is that not what this symbol signifies? Do you see anybody hanging on that cross? No, because he was taken down from that cross and he was buried, and 3 days later he rose from the dead. He rescues. He rescues his children from slavery. He rescued me from the slavery of sin. Hey, let's say this together. His plans are good. You guys are mediocre at best. Let's do it again. His plans are good. Do we believe that? Yeah. Amen. And he's looking for leaders who will serve his purposes. Don't miss this part of the revelation to Moses. He says, Moses, I want you to go. And I don't know all the details of what Moses was running through his head, but you can imagine with me. Dude, I totally messed it up. I'm a murderer. I took someone's life in anger. I stepped out of your will. I did it my own way, and I messed everything up. And now 40 years of your people, my brothers and sisters, have continued to suffer as slaves for 40 years because I messed up in that moment. And God says, Moses, go. You're my guy. The eyes of the Lord range. They roam throughout the earth looking for those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he's talking to Moses. Keep in mind, he's still kneeling there and the bush is burning and a voice is coming from the bush. Don't miss the moment. But he says, Moses, you're my guy. You're my person. You're the one that I look and I see a heart that is fully devoted to me. Now go back and lead my people. God is always looking for those that he can use to serve his purposes. But Moses has another question. Verse 11. But I always want to stop when there's a but. Say, why is that there? Okay, something. Why is that there? Kenny Rogers. No. If you don't know what that means, come see me afterwards, I'll tell you. But Moses asked God. Was that not incredible revelation? This is who I am, Moses. This is who I've always been. And I'm fully aware, and I know what's happening, and I have a plan, and you're my guy. Now let's go, let's deliver, let's go back to the plan that we had to set my people free and get them to the promised land. Come on! And his answer is, but who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Pharaoh wants to kill me. That's the last word I heard from my father-in-law, or not father-in-law, what are you, stepdad, or whatever, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, papa, step-papa, Egyptian papa. He wants to kill me. And you want me to go back and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Wrong number. Sorry. Sorry, you got the wrong number. You're thinking of a different Moses. He lives over one hill and down that valley. God, in his grace and his mercy, he answers, Moses, I will certainly be with you. And this will be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you bring the people out of Egypt, you will all worship me, God, in this place, at this mountain. Isn't that cool? God's saying it's going to happen. And you'll know that you don't believe it yet, and you got questions, and you're struggling. But there's a moment coming where you're going to stand here in the same place and go, is it bad to say holy cow? I say holy cow sometimes. Holy cow. I don't know if that's bad. Holy cow. It happened. We're here worshiping God. This will be the sign. This will be the moment that you realize this is all true. Then Moses asked God another question. If I go to the Israelites, let's just unpack this for a minute, God. Be patient with me. If I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask, well, who is that? What's his name? What do I tell them? God replies to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. We could spend so much time here. I got the privilege of doing that this week and just unpacking this and looking at it in the Hebrew. And by the way, in the Hebrew, the to be verb doesn't have a present tense. It doesn't have an am. It's just I exist. It's I. When they translated the Hebrew in the Septuagint, they translated it into Greek, they translated it, I will be who I will be. Because that's really the meaning of the Hebrew. I will be who I will be. We could say it like this. Moses, tell them, I exist. I am the being that is the source of all life and all creation, and everything is sustained by me. I exist. Therefore, I am. And then it's interesting, not interesting, it's spiritual goosebumps when Jesus tells his audience, before Abraham was, I am. And he's claiming to be Jehovah. Or when we take out the vowels and we put it together, we say, Yahweh, Jehovah, Yeshua. Jesus is saying, that was me in the bush. Before I took on a body and came as a baby, that was me in the bush. That's why they freaked out and wanted to kill him. Because he's saying, that's me. I am. The same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what you say. You say, the God of your fathers. This is what you say to the Israelites. Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered in every Translation, today. Today. God reveals himself to Moses and he says, this is what I want you to tell the people of Israel, but it's a bigger picture, isn't it? He says, this is who I am, and I want to be remembered in this way and seen and acknowledged and worshiped for every generation. So that includes you and me today. This is who he is. He hasn't changed. So go assemble the elders of Israel, say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has appeared to me, to Moses, and this is what God said. I've paid close attention to you. Tell the leaders now what I have already shared with you. I've paid close attention to you and to what's been done to you in Egypt, and I have promised you that I will bring you up from the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and it is a land flowing with milk and honey. So we have these questions quite frequently, don't we? Who am I? Why me? Why now? Why here? No? We don't have people moving, going to different locations because we're saying, and this is a general statement, this doesn't apply to everybody, but we're constantly looking for something different to try to answer these questions. We used to say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. Maybe the change of location. Maybe a change of circumstances. Maybe a change of spouse. Do we do that? We do. A new job, a new house, a new whatever. Because who am I? Based on what I'm facing, based on the circumstances, based on the revelation from God, who am I and why me? And why here and why now? And what is God's answer to that every time?
I am.
I am. Why me? Because I am. Why here? Because I am. Why now? Because you see, he's bigger than time. He's bigger than space. He's bigger than us. Is he not? The answer to my questions, and I would love for him to give me a different question or different answer, but this is how he answered, because I am. Because of who I am. Love technology. Or actually, technology loves me. Okay, quick review. You ready? Okay. There you go. Here's what I want to again, penetrate our hearts, shape our thinking, go with us. When we question who we are, God affirms who he is, and he confirms or affirms his promises. But think about that with me. Put yourself in Moses' shoes. When I say, God, I'm not sure I'm the right guy. I'm not sure I'm the right woman. I'm not sure I'm the right teenager. I'm not sure I'm the right person for the job in the moment. I feel you pulling on me. Your eyes have landed on me, and you're asking me to do something, to be something, to say something, to not say something, to stand up to wrong, to come alongside someone, to serve in some way. I know that you're asking me to do something, and I just don't think I'm the right person. And when I have that question, who am I? God answers me by affirming who he is. The clearer picture you and I have of God, the clearer picture we will have of ourselves. And I know that's true because it's throughout the pages of Scripture. Moses falling on his face. Isaiah saying, I'm an undone man. It just goes on and on through, just falling. I see you for who you are and I realize who I am. And God says, that's amazing, awesome. Now we can have an honest conversation. I love you. I want to pour grace into your life. But I know all that you are. And I love you, and I want to pour grace. I want to set you free from sin, and I have a plan for your life, and it's a good plan, and we're going to do this together to build my kingdom, to accomplish my good purposes. So he keeps pulling us back to, all you need to know is who I am and that I keep my promises. Let me say that again. All we need to know is who God is and that he keeps his promises. That's what I need to know in every situation. The answer to every question, every obstacle, every overwhelming moment in my life when I don't know what to do, what I need to know is not more about myself and who I am. I need to know who he is and that he keeps his promises. And that's God's message to Moses. He's not getting it yet, but that's his message. Who he is the answer to who I am. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
If you can't, think on that and ask God to help you. Because that's the truth. Who he is the answer to who I am. Who he is. You see what I'm pointing at? Not the drums, not my wife's percussion. Who he is the answer to who I am. The cross was necessary because of who I am. But it was God who chose to put himself on that cross and die for me. God's character is the answer to my question. But Moses has another question. Wouldn't you know it? Chapter 4, verse 1. And you can read chapter 4, it's back and forth. It's just Moses, until finally God goes, that's it. You ever experienced that from your parents? Right? I'm done. My kids will tell you the story about, you know, we were going to a restaurant, and I'd had it, and I said, we're going home. And we went home. We didn't go out to eat. And my 39-year-old daughter brought it up the other day. Dad, remember the time? You know, I was done. I'm done. But here in verse 1, Moses answers God, what if they won't believe me and will not obey me but say the Lord didn't appear to you? You're not telling the truth. God's not really sending you. Here's a thought that I had that might speak to some of you this morning. We need nothing more than who God is. He continues to ask questions that God had already answered. Don't we do that? Why here? Why now? Who am I? And God just keeps saying, here's who I am because I am. And I keep my promises and they're good. Yeah, but I want to, yeah. And God just keeps coming back. You know what? All you really need is who I am. That's the only answer that I really need. Hey, hey, anybody recognize him? That's not Charlton Heston, that's Moses. Come on. Let me close with this thought. Moses is telling us what to do. He's saying, okay, this is how I want you to apply this to your life. As only Charlton Heston can say it. Number one, zoom in on God. In fact, zoom in on who he is. Here's a practical thing to do. Take a piece of paper and begin to write down all the names of God that have been revealed to you, revealed to us in the Bible. Start making a list of that. And if you don't know what they mean, start writing, do some studying, do some prep and write down definitions. Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai. Then they're combined together. Jesus, Emmanuel. Boy, we've been given a lot of names that help us know who God is. So start making a list. Zoom in on him. Stop zooming in on your question, your unanswered questions and the problems and the challenges. They're there. They're not going to go away. And we don't live in denial. But you can fill your mind with all of that that's going on in this world. Or we can fill our mind with who God is. And I encourage us to zoom in on God and who he is. Number two, bring your questions to God. He knows you. He knows your circumstances. He knows your situation. He knows what we're facing. And yes, he knows your failure. He knows your lack of faith. He knows your struggle. He knows everything about you. And yet he looks Peter in the face after incredible failure and says, do you love me? Then feed my sheep. Do you hear that? Your guilt, our guilt, and our shame will keep us from coming to God. Meanwhile, God is there in the bush saying, I'm here, I'm ready. I know you. I know what you're facing. I know what you're going through. I know what you feel about yourself. I know that 40 years ago you really messed up things. I know all that, and I want you to come to me. Bring your questions to God. And number three, embrace your identity in Christ. He said, I don't know who I am. Here's how it usually plays out. I don't know what to say or not say on Facebook. I don't know how to respond or not to, what to respond to, what not to respond to. I don't know what to say to my neighbor. I don't know what to do with these feelings that I have or these questions. I don't know what to do with my doubt. I don't know what to do. I just don't know who I am in this set of circumstances. Does that ring a bell with anybody? So what's the answer? Embrace who he says you are in him. And you say, where do I go? Well, I'm not going to read it because of time, but I want you to consider writing it down. 1 Peter chapter 2, our key verse for this series, but there's verse 9 through verse 17. He lays out in great detail, this is who you are. If you want to know why you're here, read 1 Peter chapter 2. You want to know who you are to him, read 1 Peter chapter 2. You want to know what you should be doing and not be doing in this moment, read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 to 17, because Peter is answering that question to people in the first century that are saying, who are we? Why are we here? What's going on? Embrace the identity that God has given you. If you've put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've been adopted into his family, you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves, you're his, you have a new identity. Embrace it. Stop trying to find who you are and your identity in other things. God, forgive us as his children. Do we not do that? We try to find our identity in things, in money, in recognition. It's a long list of things that we turn to. Drugs, alcohol, pleasures. There's all kinds of things that we turn to and say, "This, I'm going to find what I need here." Meanwhile, God in the bush is saying, would you please just come to me, fall on your knees, and I'll remind you exactly who you are. And who I am, so that you know who you are to me. And at the end of the day, that's what I need to know. I need to know who he is, and I need to know who I am to him. And here's the last thought. It's okay to struggle with that, and I hope you see that in Moses. This is God's chosen man to do what he's about to do. It's incredible what's about to happen. And Moses is a mess inside. He's a mess. He doesn't see it. He doesn't see God for who he is, and he doesn't see who he is to God. He can't yet grab a hold of that. It'll happen. It's going to take a while. It's okay. If you're sitting here this morning and you're hearing these words and you're reading his word, and you're like, okay, but you don't know how messed up, how confused, how lost. You don't understand the paths that I've taken, the roads that I've traveled to try to find who I am, and I don't know if I can get back. No, you can't. But God can bring you back. He's waiting. He's in that bush. He's waiting. And he knows who you are, and he wants you to know who he is. So at the end of the day, we just need to know who we are to him. Every morning, too. Who we are to him. My favorite conversations start with a question. Will you join me in a moment of prayer, please? And I'm going to invite Jan and Roberta to come up as we are praying. Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that you helped me see me in Moses this week. And I thank you that you, by your Spirit, through your word, is communicating the same message to us that you did to Moses. You love us. You're fully aware of who we are and what we've done and the circumstances we're in. And you love us and you're near. You see, you hear, and you have a plan. And it's a good plan to set us free from the slavery of sin and to give us new life in this body and then the promised land with you forever in heaven. Thank you for being who you are, never changing, and being committed to the plan that you have for us. God, I'm convinced that there's maybe a handful of people in this room, maybe watching online, that are just really struggling with who they are and how you see them. God, would you speak to those hearts? Would you penetrate the obstacles, tear down the wall that is in the way of them hearing the truth that you love them? Salvation is for them. New life is for them. Purpose, significance in your kingdom is for them. That your eyes are still roaming, looking for hearts that are fully devoted to you. God, thank you for being present in this moment. Help us to go, when we leave this place and go to the lives that you've called us to live, that we would be different people. In Jesus' name, amen.